Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered if there was a specific strategy that you could use to find real and lasting love? There is one dating strategy called the Strict Seven, and so much more, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love, relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love, author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the really love-changing 30 Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who just keep proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Christine Campbell is a self-empowerment, dating, and love coach. After going on over 1,000 dates and failing at over 10 relationships in her lifetime, although I don't call it failing, you're learning from them, Christine set out to master this thing called love. Well, she did that, and upon turning 40 and declaring she would meet her husband in 90 days, she did so in 6 weeks and was actually married 3 months later. Christine has been coaching empowerment, inner and outer confidence, self-worth, and femininity to thousands of women around the globe for almost a decade. And you can learn more about her at her website, ChristineCampbell.com. So I'm delighted to welcome you today, Christine.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I just love hearing about what this show stands for and how it's about life gets better and better and better, because that's something that I'm experiencing, and I'm just excited to share my messages with your audience today.
So I want to ask a little bit about your background, but also what's amazing is that I think you got married at 40. Is that
I
correct?
Did. Yes, 40.
And you had a child, so you've had it all.
Yeah, I just had a baby boy. He's 15 weeks old today, and it is an incredible experience. I'm so honored that I was blessed with the opportunity to have a little boy, because I almost, you know, I cut it close.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, I know. Well, I got married at 40 also.
Oh, you
did. But I did not have a child. You know, I had a miscarriage at that point. So you know, you are so fortunate, and it's so beautiful. So tell us about your background and what went on all those years. You know, what kind of education did you have? Just tell a little about you.
Yeah, you know, I'm a love coach today because love was one of the biggest struggles that I had throughout my lifetime. And I am a natural romantic. I'm a Pisces. Like, I love love. But throughout my life, I just always ended up in these long relationships, like 4 years, 2 years, another 4 year, another 3 year, with men that I would never marry. And the men would be thinking it, but I'm on the other side going, well, I can't marry you. You're not somebody who would make a good partner, but I would stay for such long periods of time and I'd be unhappy. And it was sort of a pattern that I had. And I would just pick the next guy that came along. I wouldn't actually jump in and get to know them and decide what I want. I was a serial monogamist. I would just take the next one. And then my mother stepped in when I was around 30 years old, and she's like, saw who I was dating, and my mother was like more of a quiet woman, not one to really, you know, more of a supporting style, not really a dictating type or anything like that, like just kind of kept to herself, but kind of stepped forward and was like, you need to go on 100 dates. You just need to not, you need to go out there and date and see what's out there, because you are not dating men who match your value. And until you know what's out there, mm-hmm. you're not going to know what you can get. And so I took her advice, and I like broke up with the person I was seeing within a week, and I actually went on those 100 dates, and I went on them really quickly. And I was saying yes to every single guy that asked me out. I was like, okay, yes, I'll go out with you. Sure, sounds great. And I was having a blast. I was just going to coffees or just movies or dinners. And my confidence was boosting. And I was starting to have so much fun learning about all these different men and their stories and, like, just getting that fill of attention. And I was like, this is so great. I can't believe I've never done this before. And So I was single for a long time after that. I was single for 4 years. And I went on, I was like a dating machine. I was just having such a blast with it because I love people. I love the psychology of, you know, of people and what made them who they are. And I would just look at each date as an opportunity to learn something about somebody and go out into the world and get pretty and just be connecting with someone. And so dating was something I just, it was a passion. Actually, I think that's why I went on so many, because I really enjoyed it. And I really did for many years just say yes to almost, I shouldn't say many years, but for quite a period I said yes to majority of the men who asked me, until later my time became more valuable and I started to get more picky, and then I started to filter stronger, and and then the dates obviously got better because I was filtering and my standards were going up and I was more protective over my time. And then I ended up getting into another relationship, which also was an unhealthy relationship. I was ended up with a narcissist, considering I have a codependent, I had a codependent style about me. And so I attracted in that type. And that kind of was a heartbreaking situation. It lasted another 4 years to just throw me back into the dating pool. And throughout all of this, these years, and this was like, we're talking 15 to almost 20 years of me dating and being in these unhealthy relationships, was when I started to feel a little bit defeated in my late 30s. And that's when I started to kind of go, okay, what's going on? Like, I'm heading to 40. I haven't found the man that I want to be with. I wanted to have 6 children and be married at 26. And here I am heading to 40. And I'm like, it can't be all of them. That's the problem. It must be me, because I am the common denominator in all of this. Uh-huh. And I really want the chance to have a family. And I really know that I really want to experience what being happy in love is like. I don't want to live this lifetime without that experience and to know that that exists. And so that's when I really dove into love, like being a student of love. My coaching before that was in health, I was a health coach, health and wellness, and teaching women how to, you know, heal their bodies through food and feel confident in their bodies through weight loss. But it wasn't my passion. And love became something that I became a little bit, not obsessed over, but just a huge passion of, I'm going to figure this out. And so being a student of love and diving in and understanding why I was doing the things I was doing, why I was choosing the men I was choosing, why I was staying so long with unhealthy partners, communication styles, and all the little pieces of the puzzle I needed to be actually good at love, to actually trust that I was going to be a good partner the next time around and not choose, you know, I could trust that I was going to choose the right partner and I was going to be able to leave if it wasn't right. And my, you know, to just truly know that I had what I needed, the knowledge I needed to have, was when I set out with that intention, the 90 days to meet my husband. At that point, I know enough now. I know why I did the things I did in the past. I know what my fears were and why my, you know, where my worth was. And I've done a lot of building and learning to the point where now it's going to work. I will not choose the same man I chose in my past. I will not be the same woman I was in my past. I'm going to be so much better. And that's when the universe, God, connected me with my husband quite quickly, and everything laid out, and we got married quickly and had our baby and where I am today. And so the Strix 7 that you mentioned is a strategy that I built when I was single and looking, because I was reading books like crazy and just learning, and I was never getting that perfect formula. And so I combined some things from different books and my own personal experience and made the Strix 7 strategy, and I tested it on myself, and it worked like a charm. And that's why I teach it to all my clients, and I try and share that with the entire world, because I feel like if every woman just knows the strategy and they stick with it, they can be successful in love, as far as meeting the right person. The love part, the relationship skills, different. That's a whole different ball game. But this is just calling in the right man.
Yeah, I love what you share. We'll talk about that in a little more detail later. But
definitely,
what I hear from everything you talked about is that there was a point where you made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me because I was 40 also. I must have been 39 at the point. But I took a course called All About Men and All About Women. And that shifted me, and that's when I got married a few months later. So it's
amazing.
Like you reach a point where there's a decision. I mean, I had been studying about love and relationships for 10 or 15 years, but it was that decision, like a sudden awareness, and then and an intention that, you know, I am going to meet this person, and it happened. So that's interesting. But
that decision is powerful.
And
it's like 100% committed to what you want.
And also, that's what makes you start to go back and look at what have I done, to take it seriously. Because you really decided, rather than what I see with so many people, is they're just letting it happen. You know, and meet some guy, even though he's a friend of the person they used to date, and all kinds of funny stuff. And then it gets all murky, because they didn't make that decision from the beginning. This is what I want. This is the type of person.
And then just as you're saying that, I feel like that thing in my chest is like, no, don't do it like that. That's not going to work. You really need to know, like the very first step when I work with my women is, you know, let's figure out very clearly what you want. Like, you need to know how, like let's figure out your love vision. What is it that you want? And when you're with this man, even more important than what you want, how do you want to feel? How do you want this man to make you feel? And that's what we're going to focus on the entire time you're dating, is how does the man in front of you make you feel? And if he doesn't make you feel good, you have to listen to that, pay attention to that. And let's not try and find excuses around that to make it work. That's telling you something. And usually in the past, women, because of chemistry, will ignore it and justify it, and they end up in unhealthy relationships.
Well, I made a list at that time, you know, because it's really valuable to make a list of all the qualities you want in a person. And I found that person, but I left out the piece about how I would feel. And I didn't feel so good for a long time, because that was not a quality or an aspect that I thought of as important.
The most important.
Absolutely. When you feel good about yourself, then you can be loving. Everything is better.
Mm-hmm.
You can succeed at work, whatever you have to do.
Yep. And I think that's why it's one of the things that everybody needs to make as their main priority, especially when whether they're single or in a relationship today, is to focus on self and not worry for a bit about the man. Even if it's your husband, if you're in a relationship and you're not happy, for a minute take a break about worrying about him and what he's doing to make you unhappy, and it's, you know, all his faults and all the things you're obsessing over, and look at yourself for a minute and just focus on you and go out there and start to build yourself up. What's going to make you happy? What's going to make you strong? What's going to make you feel good? And that's going to allow the space for you to actually look at your husband then and think, what are the things I actually like about him? Because I think we both know, when you are in a relationship and you start to focus on flaws, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where you're just not liking your partner. But yet, if you are able to shift that and be like, but what are the good things? When you focus on the good then will grow. And your adoration or your warmth towards your partner will start to grow. And that will allow you the ability to then converse with love and respect versus a little bit of spite and be able to be heard and possibly have a higher chance at having of being heard by your partner versus, you know, when you talk to anyone negatively, they get defensive and they shut down. And it's as lose-lose for you both.
Not only talking negatively, but just having the attitude, even
mm-hmm.
if you don't actually
yes.
say it verbally. You can
definitely.
See it in your body language.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I also realized, first of all, another person cannot make us upset. There's something in us that's reacting. So that's
mm-hmm.
why it's always good to look at yourself. Why am I upset
yes.
by this? What is going on? But the other piece is that the way you are in your intimate romantic relationship is probably not that different from the way you are with friends and with family. So if you start looking at all of your relationships and look at how you are in the relationships, that can help you to get more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. One of my struggles when I was working on myself was vulnerability, intimacy, like really letting my guards down and being able to communicate openly about my feelings. And it was really uncomfortable for me because I grew up in a family where we were very affectionate. Like, it was a very touchy-feely family, but we never verbalized how we felt. And so my husband, being a man of, you know, words of affirmation when it comes to the five love languages, he really needs to hear how well he's doing and how much I appreciate him and how, you know, how much I respect him and how, you know, just that I really see what he's doing for us. And in the beginning, I struggled with that. I just wanted to go give him a hug and be like, doesn't my hug tell you everything? And he's like, no,
uh-huh.
I don't think you see me. And I was like, but I hug you and touch you and I'm all over you. And he's like, but you don't say it. And so I really had to learn how to say, thank you so much for the hard work you do for us. And wow, I can't believe how, you know, he built me a teleprompter for one of my videos from scratch, and I just made such a big deal about it because he just was, I could tell he was like, look what I did.
And
I'm like, oh my God, that is so amazing. You're so talented. That just saved me so much time. Thank you. And his little chest was just all out, and he was so proud. And, you know, old me maybe wouldn't have been so appreciative or like showed it so much. And I've really learned that to be an incredible tool in my marriage to keep him happy, because when he's happy, I'm happy, and when I'm happy, he's happy, and to know what he needs to feel like he's doing a good job.
Well,
I
have
great.
Two reactions. One is that it is a big deal that he built this teleprompter. Not everyone can
yes.
do that, and it's such yes. support for what you're doing. So
oh, my goodness. He's such the biggest supporter. He even helps me coach my woman. He jumps on and does private calls with them, and if I need relief with my newborn, he'll jump on and coach them for the night, and we're such a team. It's great.
That's beautiful. And there was another piece. I just lost the train of thought there. Anyway, so tell us about your dating strategy, the strict seven.
The life-changing game strategy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's called the strict seven. It's called the strict seven.
Yeah.
It's actually quite simple. The strategy is simple. Following it is the hard part. So
mm-hmm.
basically, it's your must-have list with figuring out what is it you want and how do you want your future man to make you feel. When you're with him, how do you feel? And I teach manifestation. So with manifestation, it's really about knowing what you want and focusing on the good and calling more of that into your life. And so much more around manifestation. I won't go into all that today. But generally, I start you off with a very clear vision of where we're going. Just like in business, you have to know where you're going, right, to be able to get there. Of course, there's obstacles along the way, and you have to go left and right, but yet at the same time, you're going to land at the goal. And so the goal is the ideal man for you and how he makes you feel. I don't have my women focus too much on what they want because that will throw you off. Like, he has to be 6'2",
mm-hmm.
and he has to have a six-pack, and, you know, those things really – yes, attraction matters, but in the realm of things, a man who makes you feel good every single day and is able to fulfill your needs and is able to treat you like a queen and support you and be loyal to you is so much more important. And so that has to come first. And
wait a second, before you continue, that was what I was going to say before, and I just lost the train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
It said many women, if the guy was wanting all that attention, wanting you to say things and wanting you to show you're caring, the woman could see him as weak and be annoyed by it. That's something that women feel, that because we still have, many of us, that image of a man, you know, tough man who brought up with that. So just respond to that, and then we'll go on with the seven.
Oh, yes. You know, I look at men as actually very vulnerable creatures, and when they give you their heart and they surrender their heart over to you, they're asking you to nurture that, like to nurture that heart. And so if you go into a relationship and you are expecting your man to go in and just be the provider and the protector and the pleaser, and you're not going to be giving back and feeding into his soul, you're ultimately going to end up in a very emotionally closed-off relationship where neither of you, like, he'll provide and he'll protect, but your emotional connection is going to be strained. Like, you'll struggle. You might feel a little bit more lonely because in many ways, his focus then is just going to be on, you know, the primary needs. And so I've just learned along the way, because I've been that woman in a relationship where I didn't give any compliments. I was very emasculating. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, you give to me and I'm here in presence and you're the man and I look good, so isn't that enough? And it was definitely not enough. And I have learned over the years that men have very, you know, I guess they have egos. And they have pride. And as a partner, as a really healthy partner, to be able to understand that a man will be happy, like when you're feeding your man with what he needs, and that is the praise, that is the appreciation. That, you know, I always tell my clients, men need sex, they need praise, and they need food. And if you give your man those three things, he'll be very, overall, quite happy. And so that praise piece is the piece that says, that tells the little boy in him, you're doing great. You're doing a good job. And little boys need to hear that, just as grown men need to hear that. They need to know that they're working really hard for a reason and that they're not working for nothing. And if you don't give them anything, they're going to actually sit back and say, well, what am I working so hard for? You know, why am I doing all this when you don't give me anything back? And if you're the type of woman that says, mm-hmm. well, what do you need? I mean, you're a man. You're supposed to be strong. They're telling you right in that moment, I need more. I need you to tell me that you see me and that you respect me and you appreciate me. And that's what I need to continue working so hard for you. And, of course, they want sex. And they want the food, the nurturing, I'm here to take care of you. But I don't see it as a weakness whatsoever. It's no different than women saying, I want romance or I want connection. A man could easily flip that and say, you know, why do you need that from me? Well, we need that. Our soul calls for it. It's what creates our intimacy and our desire to want, you know, to feel loved and to feel special. And so it's kind of a give-give, or not kind of, it always is a give-give in relationships where you look at, I just believe the happiest, healthiest relationships are when you make sure that the needs of your partner are met and you listen to what they're asking for and you're reading between the lines and you're saying, how can I make my partner as happy as possible and not make this about me whatsoever? And if he's doing the exact same thing for you, you have a beautiful combination there and that relationship is going to succeed. And then making sure that each other always know what the other needs. And this is where, you know, you remove the stigma of what a man is supposed to be like and look at your independent partner that you chose and look at him for who he is and know that he may have been trained his whole life that vulnerability is a weakness and that he shouldn't need these things, but he's starving for it because as a human being, we all need that. And so,
because, see, let's go on, but what's important here is that you said your partner also is reciprocating. I know a lot of women who try to do all of that, the praise and the food and the sex and everything, and it's the wrong guy, and he's not giving back. And you know, and so that's a different dynamic. But let's
it has to go both ways, for sure.
Absolutely. So anyway, you have
there's a point where if you give, and get nothing in return, in some ways you're just becoming a doormat, or you're just, you know, like, there's a point where, you know, that's just the balance is 100% off. And so make it as a strong woman, you know, it takes a strong woman to give and to be vulnerable and to put her husband, you know, to actually open her mouth and praise her husband. It takes a strong woman, a very aware woman. But the man also has to play his part. And that does come down to communication in the beginning, you know. And then after that, if he's not listening, then that's maybe therapy to, like, you know, get an expert to come in and teach you. And then if he ends up just being a guy who's never going to meet your needs, you may want to reconsider who you've chosen.
That's great. All right, so let's get to year 7.
Oh, a strict 7. Okay, back to that. I'll go quite quickly. So the strict 7 is your must-have non-negotiable list. It teaches my woman how to date with standards and confidence. So basically, I give the first top 3, which are, number 1, he must make you feel safe on all levels, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, sexually. If he does not make you feel safe, he is a no. The next one is he must be pursuing you, investing into you, making an effort for you. You must know that this man wants to be with you. If he doesn't show up like that, you do not chase him now. I teach femininity. He's just a no. He's just not that into you, or he's just not ready for a relationship, or whatever it may be. Don't, you know, it's very important that the man that you choose who's a strict 7 is really investing into you. There's no questions here. Number 3, he must be on the same timeline as you. So if you are ready, like in my case, I wanted to get married and have children within 2 years. That was my timeline. I was not changing that timeline for anybody. So if a man came in who wasn't ready for that, he was a no. I don't care how good-looking he was, how successful he was, how charming he was, how much chemistry we had. If he wasn't able to fulfill my needs, he was a no. And I had to go into an abundant mindset when I was dating to know that, because, you know, sometimes I had to walk away from really what I thought were amazing men, but we just weren't a match. And so when I went to the abundant mindset, it was like out with the old, you know, like when one door closes, another door opens. There is a lot of men in this world. And so it's not about being focused on, oh, it didn't work out with that one. I would always shift into, well, that means a better one's coming. And a better one sure did come because my husband's amazing. So abundant mindset when you're dating. And the truth is you can't force anyone to be on your timeline. You can't make someone, when they say they're not ready, they're not ready. You just have to trust that. If they're, you know, if you really want to get married and you meet someone who's not divorced yet, you're lining yourself up for trouble. So date the men who are available, things like that. And then the last 4 are my clients. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Oh, go on.
Oh, the last 4 are my client's choice. So I have them think about, we go into their values, their lifestyles, the things that they cannot live without in their lifetime that they ultimately want to share with a partner. And we make those their 4 must-have non-negotiables. And then we have the full 7. And for example, when I was, my strict 7 was, number 1, he needed to come from a healthy upbringing and be emotionally and mentally healthy, because all my exes in the past were emotionally or mentally unhealthy. I tended to call in a lot of borderlines and narcissists. So it was really important for me to find a man who had a very harmonious upbringing, because all my exes didn't, and who came to the table healthy and have to go through that again. That was just a personal choice. My second one was, I wanted a man who was healthy and fit, who, you know, who valued his body and his health and was active. I wanted a man who was financially successful and generous. Because I tended to date men in the past who were successful yet cheap, and I didn't like that. So I made a generosity, which also created a generous heart. And I made sure the man I dated was just generous in nature, And I married, my husband is the most generous man in the entire world, with financial, with time, with his heart, with his words. Like, he's just a big bundle of love. And so that worked for me. And the last one I had was that he must be open to self-development work, because I'm a self-development junkie. And so I needed to make sure that the man would grow with me, because if I dated a man who wasn't into self-development, I would outgrow him really quickly. So my husband actually has helped me coach, and he's even, you know, starting his own coaching company, and it's amazing. So it's really fun to grow together. So that was my Strict 7. A lot of women like my Strict 7, and they use my Strict 7, and that's great, because you'll end up with a great guy. But you have to make it specific to you and what your needs are, like maybe religion's in there, maybe a certain, you know, like my mom, for example. You know, she's 75 and she's dating and she's doing great and loves it. And so she needs to date someone who skis. She's a 75-year-old woman that skis half the year, and she loves it, and she's young and full of energy. So if you don't ski, she's not going to date you. And I'm okay. You know, like, that's great, Mom. That's a lifestyle preference. And so she ends up meeting athletic men in their 70s, and she's having a blast. So, you know, you just make it specific to you. And then you have your Strict 7. I tell all my women to find 3 Strict 7 men. So you start dating in abundance. You get out there on the online and go out and meet men, and you're magnetic and you're open and your heart's open, and you're telling the universe you're ready to meet men and ready to meet high-quality men, and you're ready for love. You're open energy, and you start bringing in all these men, and you start to filter. You start asking them what they're looking for, why they're dating. You start to pay attention to how they're showing up for you, how they're making you feel. You're kind of going through very, you know, in your, just internally, not externally telling them you have a Strict 7 and things like that. Just internally, you're just paying attention, and you start to qualify. And you find 3 Strict 7 men. And then you stop dating, so you focus. Because as being a serial dater for quite a bit of my life, you know, I'd be dating so many different guys and talking to so many different guys, I couldn't focus. I was just sort of in, it was just overwhelming. So a lot of guys probably slipped, you know, I do believe everything happens exactly as it's supposed to happen with the divine timing. It's supposed to, you know, divine timing being perfect. Yet there was many men in my past that were great that I didn't even see because I was so busy focused on the next date or the next swipe or whatever it may be. So that's why I have my women focus on 3 and spend around 90 days getting to know these men. That's all you're doing. You're just getting to know these men. And it's okay to get to know 3 men. You know, people have a lot of discomfort around multiple dating. But really, that's the most the best way to date, to build confidence, to build your value. And it's not in your, you know, I have a rule that you don't sleep with men until after commitment. So you're not sleeping around or anything like that. You're just getting to know 3 men. And you're going to choose the one that you feel is going to be the best partner for you, but now you have choice. And if they're true Strict 7s, remember, number 2 rule, they're pursuing you. They're invested in you. They want to be with you. So the question isn't, do they want to be with me? Of course they do. But do I want to be with them?
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you, you're in a really good, you know, empowered place because you have choice now. And if you date one man at a time, which most women are most comfortable with, what happens is you single focus, you kind of, all your world becomes about this one man. When's he going to call me? What's, you're so worried about the little things and you're watching the clock and watching, you know, like when he didn't call me, you know, in 24 hours and where is he? And that's an unattractive energy. And so that's actually lowering your value when you're so focused on a man who you just met, who you don't even know yet, and making him so important.
And
so
the
when
other
you,
piece- is they are also being sexual with the man. So they get invested and the hormones get connected and all of that.
No, none of that. You have got to wait. No sex before commitment. Like, it is a rule. I believe that only 1% of those relationships work out. Where if you have sex before commitment, that it turns into a relationship. The other 99% do not work out. So if you want to play those odds, you want a 1% chance at this working out, then go have sex with him. If you want a 99% chance that it's going to work out, do not have sex with him. And you're not playing a game here. It's not like I'm holding out for sex until you commit to me. Nothing like that. You're saying, I'm choosing as a woman who has high self-value and high self-love to not emotionally, like, not give you my body, and knowing that, you know, I'll emotionally connect to you when I don't even know you yet. I'm not going to use this as a way to get you, or, you know, I'm strong enough to manage my sexual drive until I know who I'm having, who I'm being intimate with. And so that when you do decide to have sex, you feel incredibly safe and desired and loved after it's over. In the morning when you wake up, you're not wondering, ooh, did I mess it up by having sex with him? Is he going to still want to be with me? Oh, should I leave now? Should I stay? Oh, is it going to be weird? You know, like, I don't know what to do now. Instead of all those confusion in your mind, where, again, remember, it's affecting your energy. You're showing up all insecure now. You wake up confident, and you're warm and loved, and you're wrapped up in his arms, and you know that you made the right decision. And that's empowerment. And that's why it's so important to wait until you are ready. And that's the key word, until you are ready to say yes to him.
That's
and he will
beautiful.
Love you so much more
right.
for that. He will. Men
so
want a woman to make
not...
them wait. They do.
They do, and they want the challenge, and they want to run after her, all of that.
Yeah, make it fun for them. Make it hard. Give them a good run for their money.
It's so funny and so true. But I don't want you to leave without talking about your summit. We're running short on time.
Yes, and so...
The secrets of women who win in love. You've already given some secrets, but what is on the summit? What can we expect?
So, yes, the Secrets of Women Who Win in Love is a online series that starts February 11th, and I put together, there's 26 amazing love experts like Dr. Goodstone who are going to be sharing the most important pieces, the secrets that they know that the most successful women in the world are doing to date differently, that works to call in those high quality men. Like, what are they doing that? Like, how, as I shared with you a strategy today, these things work. And I'm sure anyone listening had some ahas just now. They're like, oh, okay, maybe I should do it that way. And so you'll get a whole abundant amount of this information off the summit that you can start to apply to your life right away to help you change your results and to shift your luck in love. And so I would highly recommend, if you are struggling today, to join the summit just to start to get that knowledge, because that's what's going to really start to serve you. And it's fun and exciting, and, you know, if this is what you want, then you have to really make that decision and go for it. So you can get this access to the summit. It's at womenwhowininlove.com is where you get access.
Okay, and I will have that link on the page.
Perfect. Because I'm
thinking
that might not be right. I'm like, is that right?
I'm check it.
Yeah. Pretty sure that's right.
The correct link.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
So one more question. You have this Love Ring global movement. Tell us about that.
I'm so glad you asked me about that. That is something that I'm very excited about. That's going to be my project for the year. When I was single and looking, I was a big manifester. And I was given a candle as a gift. And on the bottom of it, it was a gifting candle. On the bottom was this pretend little engagement ring. And so when I saw it, I got very excited. And I was like, ooh, it's a sign that love is coming. And I took the little ring and I put it on my keychain. And I blessed it saying, this means that love is coming to me. And I would put it on my finger once in a while, but every single day I would see this ring. And every time I looked at it, I would feel the love of my future husband, manifestation. And sure enough, within a few months, I did meet my husband. You know, I declared it and all of that, but I met him and we got married quickly and we're so happy together. But I do give this ring some credit for a little bit of how I was showing up and the excitement and me being aligned to what I wanted every single day. And so what I did was I recreated it. And now I am, it's beautiful now, and I have this beautiful little quote on it that says, believe in love on one side, and the best is yet to come on the other side. And there's a pretty little ring, and you can use it as a keychain or as a charm on your keychain. And the movement right is that I am voting 10,000 women to buy these rings and to give them to themselves as a token of self-love, or to gift them forward, pay love forward to other women who you know in your life who need love. And 100% of the profits are going to shelters that serve victims of domestic violence, like women and children who have been in violent homes, who have sought shelter, and all of the proceeds of the sales are going to help these women, house them, clothe them, educate them, care for their children while they go out to work, build their self-esteem up, empower them once again, and have them truly believe in love again. And so the whole messaging around the movement is to have women believe in love and to not stop and choose to stay in fear, but to do the work and to move past that so that you have an opportunity to experience healthy love in your lifetime, just like I did. And so that's what I'm very excited about sharing. It'll be coming out the same day as my summit on February 11th. And I'm just the vision around it is that ultimately with those 10,000 hearts that we're touching together as empowered women around the world, that it creates 10,000 healthy, happy relationships as well.
That is amazing. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about the effect that all these women creating more love in their life will have on the men.
Yes.
They'll step up because they'll be receiving love, and that's what we all need. And the time right now is 1:11, which is really auspicious moment. To
exactly.
be sharing about
manifesting
love ring. It's a manifesting moment.
Yes,
so,
it is.
I wish you the best. What a beautiful, beautiful movement you are creating.
Thank you.
And I know
so
it's
excited.
Going to be successful. Very exciting to speak with you. So
you as well. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome. So very quickly, we're running out of time. There's a moment left. What is your last-minute message for women?
The one thing
they need to know.
When it comes to dating and finding love, the one thing I just want all women to – gosh, so many things I could share right now – is just don't give up. You know, it's, again, the whole message behind my movement is to believe in love and not give up. And, you know, in this lifetime, each and every single one of you can have extraordinary love. There's absolutely no reason why you cannot have it. But I will tell you, you do need to commit to doing work around yourself as to why it wasn't working out in the past, to find the answers to those questions so that you can clean that up and move forward differently. Move forward more empowered, using your, you know, being able to speak your truth, being able to have higher standards, being able to know that you are a high-value woman, and being able to shift your mindset around knowing that, you know, this is a world that is abundant in love and abundant in incredible men who will make amazing partners to you, and to focus on that and not on the fact that love is hard and love hurts and there are a lot of jerks out there. Yeah, there are, but there's also a lot of great men. So to really start to change your whole entire attitude about what love is and stay focused on the good and to go after it until you have it, and do not give up.
That is just beautiful, Christine. I would love to speak to you further because I have my love lessons for the soul, and that is all the wisdom of the ages about love combined with what to do when you want to meet love. You have to become love. So we can talk further. But
let's do that
for
sure.
This was delightful. And so thank you so much for participating today. And I'm excited about your summit. And I just want to say goodbye to my listeners and check out the 30 Love Lessons for Your Soul. Check out this summit on Women Who Win in Love. And let's have 2019 be a year of love.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
And thank you again so much.